This would be important, right? I want you all to be able to hear me. And I've been told, and I've experienced, I'm a soft talker. So this microphone is really important for me. Well, I just want to say one thing. When Lydia was introducing me, I have to say my recollection of that conversation was a little tiny bit different. However, I do remember saying to her that God's told me that he wants me to use my speaking voice, and perhaps the gathering might be one place that I'd be willing to use that. And I'm really, really happy to be speaking to you today and sharing with you on a topic that is near to my heart. So, whoops, let's go back. I don't know what happened there. You got a preview. All right, there we go. Maybe I accidentally hit something earlier or something. But here you go. So we're going to be talking today about I am the true vine, and I'm excited that the gathering is going through the I am statements of Jesus. There's so much richness in these passages. There's so much richness in these truths, and honestly, one of the hardest things about presenting this topic to you is that there's so much to say. Narrowing it down to what's important for tonight is really hard. So you may find holes in what I'm saying about it when you look at the scripture. I can't talk about everything, but we're going to talk about some of it. And I hope it's a blessing. Before we go too far, let me just introduce myself a little bit to you. This is me, Valanda Lichty, and that's my husband, Matt. And the funny thing is, when I was looking for pictures to show you, I will admit I am the world's most terrible picture taker. And there was no pictures, recent pictures, of just me and my family, like my immediate family, other than like the professional pictures, which were taken of my daughter's wedding, but I didn't want to go sort through all those. So you got what was on my phone. So my husband, Matt, that you saw in that last picture, he's a teacher in the Salem-Keizer School District at South Salem High School and a volleyball coach. And so I get the fun of going to all his volleyball stuff, and I love it so much. And I do, myself, I do a lot of different things. People ask me what I do, and it's really honestly hard to tell you because I dabble in and part-time in all kinds of things. So if you want to know more about that, ask me about it sometimes. Some of it is ministry stuff. Some of it is, I guess I can mention, I work at For the Love of Pete part-time, which is an event rental place, which is just a super fun job and just feeds my creativity niche. I love to be creative and be around beautiful things, and so that's a great fit for me. But these are my kids here. My daughter, Hannah, just got married this last summer, and now her and her husband live in Irvine, California. Yeah? You from Irvine? Oh, awesome. I didn't know that. Anyway, so yeah, she's working in childcare down there, and her husband is a mechanical engineer down there, and that's my son, looking very cool in the snow. We just over Christmas break took a hike in the snow. So I was one of those people that was signing the "Have you been to the mountains recently?" We just hiked to this up in the snow to this lake here, and I got that picture of him. He's a year and a half out of high school, and is in a figuring things out phase right now. So he's reevaluating. He started college and then thought, I need to reevaluate what I'm doing here. So yeah, so that's where he's at right now. In fact, my husband and son are probably arriving home right now from driving back from Arizona with all his stuff. So yeah. So that's my family in a nutshell and my life in a nutshell. Before we go any further, I would love to just pause a moment again and just pray together. This is going to be a conversation between us and the Holy Spirit, and we just want to be specific and intentional about inviting him to speak tonight. So, Spirit of the living God, Lord Jesus Christ, you're the one we look to for all things that we need. And so this evening, as we look at your word together, Lord, I pray that you would speak clearly, that you would speak meaningfully, Lord, that there would be nuggets that we could take away from this that would be, we could hang on to and would be encouragement for the days to come. Lord, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. It's because of you that we have this encouragement and this hope. Pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So as we get started here, this is the, of course, just the bare bones. I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. This is the statement on which this whole talk is formed. But you'll see on your table there's a sheet of paper that has the whole passage surrounding it. Although really, if we want to get full context, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but the full context of the passage is better understood if you actually look at 14, 15, 16. They all those chapters kind of go together. But we're going to actually read through that passage. But what I'm going to do is I have this handy little microphone, and there's three paragraphs there, and I wonder if I might have three volunteers who would be bold enough to allow me to bring the microphone to you and let you read a paragraph. Do I have anyone who's that bold? Come on, you can do it. All right, we got some takers. Okay. I'm going to start over here. Remind me your name. Jenny is going to read the first section here.
I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me.
All right, thank you, Jenny. And we have another volunteer here. What's your name?
Linda.
Linda's going to read our next section.
Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is known away with a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father.
Thank you, Linda. All right, and we have another volunteer right here.
Is it you?
And your name is?
Annie.
Annie is going to read this for us.
I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way as I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name.
All right, thank you guys so much for reading that. We'll be going back through that passage again a little bit as we get further into what we're talking about, but it's nice to get the full context there as we get started. So, the first thing that I want to bring to your attention is this statement, of course. There is only one true vine. And you see the focus down on the bottom there, true, real, genuine, Jesus is the real deal. But as we dive a little further into this, I want to ask us a seeming, maybe this seems like an odd question, but I'm going to ask this. What do we connect ourselves to? Because there's a lot of things we can connect ourselves to, right? And some of them are very benign. Some might bring trouble to us. Some might bring goodness to us. And then the second question, what are we looking for when we connect to certain people, when we connect ourselves to certain goals or pastimes or pursuits. Often it's because we're looking for something. There's something that we want to receive. So just kind of keep those questions in your mind and maybe think about what are some of the things that you find yourself connecting to. And then we're going to take a break from that and we're going to look at our little passage of scripture again. So we have three different exercises we're going to do with that passage of scripture, and you can see that there are some colored pencils on the table. And so throughout each of the three exercises, I'm going to ask you to grab a different color, and so you can switch pencils around and stuff, so that you can make sure you get three different colors throughout the time. But the first exercise that I would like you to do is to take a colored pencil, and everywhere in that passage that you see the word I, circle I, and then underline the phrase that comes immediately after it, okay? Okay. So as you look at those statements that you've underlined, what stands out to you? Is there an overall sense or feeling you get from these passages, these statements? Feel free to shout it out if you have something that comes to mind. If not, I'll just move on, but... Promises, okay, yeah. Yeah, control, he's got everything in control. The example, he is the example. He's made choices on our behalf, yeah. Does that seem like a good thing? Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it is past tense. It's already happened, has been done. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I just wanted you to, the reason I wanted to do this exercise is because I wanted to start off what we're talking about today with your eyes fully on kind of the center of this passage. He is the center of this passage. Now, there's a lot in here that's also about us, but it's because of him and who he is, because he is the truly life-giving one. So if I think back to those questions that I asked earlier about who we connect ourselves to, then let's just think about it this way. We connect ourselves to a lot of things, but the true vine connects us to him. He chose us. He connects us to him. And it's not to say that any of the other connections we have are necessarily bad things or bad relationships or anything like that. But it's important that we keep this particular connection in proper perspective, because he is the connection that is most important. He's the connection that is stable. He's the connection that is life-giving. Ultimately, all other connections at some point will fail to sustain us in the deepest places of who we are. And that doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they're not him. He's the genuine, real deal, the one who can sustain us when all others fall a little short. Right? Or in some cases, a lot short. And this is because he's our true home. The vine is where we belong. If you've been chosen by God, then the vine is your home. It's where you belong. And deep internal flourishing is only going to come when you're connected to him. And he's the one who made that possible. I'm going to move on to the next little part here. So we're going to look at the passage again. And this time the exercise is that I would like you to get a different color than you had before. And this time, if you want to look at the passage and circle every place that it says you, and then underline the phrase that follows that. Okay? You have already been pruned and purified is the first one. All right, some of you have already finished, some haven't. That's okay, keep going, but I'm going to read through these out loud. You have already been pruned and purified. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. You are the branches. You can do nothing. You remain in me. You may ask for anything you want. You are my true disciple. You obey my commandments. You remain in my love. You are my friends. You are my friends. Isn't it interesting that that one's there twice? You didn't choose me. You will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Is there any particular thoughts or things that you noticed after looking down through that list? What's the sense you got? Benefits. Yeah, a lot of richness in it. Yeah, we're a secondary. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. One of the things that I noticed, especially towards the beginning of that, is there's a lot of neediness in there. There's a lot we've been given, but there's a lot that also that we can't do. Like, there's a neediness to be connected to him. And it's interesting because, you know, I think about different needy people in my life and how I relate to those people. You know, I have kids who are needy and need my attention all the time. Right now I have a mom who's going through cancer treatments and she can't do everything for herself. There's things she needs from me and from my siblings to look out for her. And what is it that you need? It's okay to be needy, right? And you and I are needy. We need him. So what is it that you need? What is it that you need specifically from the vine? It's a question for right now, but it's also a question for you to ponder in the days to come. What is it that you need? Have you thought about that? My neediness is apparent to me on a regular basis, but I don't always think of it in terms of the provision from the vine. But he has provision for more than just my basic felt needs. He has supernatural nourishment for me that's going to bring vitality and fruitfulness to my life. It's going to bring depth to my life and joy. But what do I need from him? Do I know that I need something from him? I want to focus in on that word nourishment, because as I was spending some time in this passage and praying about it, the thought came to mind that I've often thought of the vine in relation to sustenance, and it certainly the vine is that. We need to be connected to the vine in order to sustain life at all, right? That's what it says. But also, there's nourishment in it. So what's the difference between sustaining and nourishing? The difference between sustaining and nourishing is the difference between survival and thriving, right? You can eat foods that will keep you alive and prevent starvation, but those might be different foods than the foods you need to support growth and health and optimal function and vitality as a person, right? And what we're talking about here is that the vine provides us connection to Jesus, provides us with more than just sustenance that barely keeps us from starving. He provides us with nourishment for our souls that brings vitality and abundance to our lives. And so this connection is vital, not just for life, but for abundance. And it's interesting that when we talk about connection, in this passage it talks about our connection with him being a mirror of the connection that he has with the Father. There's this intimate confidence that Jesus has, and you'll see in the passage that he's connected to the Father, and he does whatever the Father tells. And that's because of this intimate connection, this intimate confidence that he has. That connection is there, and it shows him that God is directing him in the very best way. And so his obedience that gives, the obedience that gives Jesus joy is the obedience that flows out of intimate confidence in that relationship. And that's what we're invited into. As a mirror, he said, the same thing that I have with my Father, you get to have with me. Intimate confidence in what, in God's goodness for us, in his plans for us, that he has abundance and life for us. His desire is for our joy, and the joy that he offers us flows out of the same kind of joy that he has walking in intimate confidence with the Father. So what is it like to be connected? How does it happen that we are connected? Well, first of all, connection happens because we are his, because Jesus literally gave his life for us so that we could be connected. Connection happens because we have the Holy Spirit. And that's where I said that this whole passage from chapters 14 to chapter 17 is, if you read all of that, you'll see it's all about, on either side of this passage, it's about Holy Spirit. He's just been in the upper room with his disciples, and they've had communion together and foot washing, and Judas has left, and now Jesus is sitting and talking with them, and that's when he says, I am the true vine. He says, I'm going away. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Then he talks about the true vine, and then he says, I'm going away, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. This is the thread running through all of it, is that he has provided for us to have connection through his blood. He's provided connection through Holy Spirit. He's provided connection through his word. And it says, you'll notice in this passage that the used word is used a couple of times. At the very beginning in verse 3, it talks about the word. Particular version, it uses message. You have already been pruned and purified by the message, but the Greek word there is actually logos, which is the whole word of God, the written word of God. And then later in verse 7, it says that if you remain in me and my words remain in you. And the word there is rhemata. Rhema, multiple, it's the plural of rhema, which is the spoken word, the utterances of God specifically for us in a given moment, the rhema, living, spoken, immediate word. And we have that because of our connection to Holy Spirit. He teaches us in each given moment the things that we need to know. And that's what this connection is all about. He has the words of life. He is the word of life. And he's connected directly to us. And the beauty of this connection is that is in who we are connected to, right? Remain in my love. He is love. If we were connected to someone who wasn't the embodiment of love, it might be a little bit different story, but he is love, and that's who we're connected to. So the next part I want to talk to you about is fruit is the natural outcome of connection to the vine. And I want to look at the parts for exercise three. I want to look at the parts in this passage that tell what that connection is all about. So everything where you see a phrase that starts with will, like will produce, will remain, I want you to underline those phrases in a different color than you used before. In the first paragraph, we have will produce and will remain. In the second paragraph, we have will produce and will be granted. And in the third paragraph, we have will be filled, will overflow, and will give. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a heartwarming list. That's an encouraging list of things. This is what he's provided for us. The production, the remaining is it initiated by him. And he's the one who sustains that connection. And we do get to remain with him as well. But he remains and we remain. The starting is he remains. He remains with us. He remains faithful. He remains the vine who produces, who grants, who gives, who overflows. And I don't know, you might have wondered, maybe you don't wonder, but I look at this and I think, well, what is the fruit that he's producing in me? Because the passage doesn't specify what that fruit is. And so, of course, when we think about fruit, the first passage that usually comes to our mind is the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And all those things we might see in us sometimes, we might not see in us at times. There's other fruit too that is less maybe commonly known, and I wanted to share some of these other things with you as well. Out of Romans 7:4-6, it says that good deeds are fruit of our lives being his. Actions that are in alignment with God's purposes, good deeds. In Hebrews 13:15, this is one I did not know at all. And I was so, it was so cool to read this. Hebrews 13:15, the sacrifice of praise is the fruit of the lips who profess the name of Jesus. So sacrifice of praise, if you're praising him, that's fruit. John 4:32-36 tells us that people coming to Christ is a fruit. And Colossians 1:6 says that changed lives are a fruit. Has your life been changed? Mine has. That's fruit. What about Philippians 1:11? Philippians 1:11 says that righteous character is a fruit. So I think all of these things could be looked at as the fruit that comes out of connection to the vine. And so I, you know, it's interesting because I think when we think about fruit, we tend to compare to people around us. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe it's just me. But we look at the fruit and we go, look at their fruit. Look at their fruit. Wow, they're so, like their lives are so fruitful. That's, I wish I was like that. But the passage doesn't promise uniformity in fruitfulness. This talks about that there will be fruit. uniformity is not promised, but when the life of Jesus permeates us, as he does when the life flows through the vine into the branches, fruit is an inevitable result. It's a natural outcome of that connection. And I guarantee you, it's there. And hopefully as we went down through this list, you could see that there is fruit in your life. Be encouraged. There is fruit. I want to go a little bit further here. Let me move past a few of my other notes because apparently I have a lot to say. We're running short on time. So I want to move us into a little reflection time. So you'll see on your table that there are sheets that have some reflection, some prayer reflection. We're going to take a little bit of time, and Jessica's going to go ahead and play a song for the first, 5 minutes or so of this reflection. And as she does, you can just follow the instructions that are on the sheet there. You can read through those passages, see what they kind of say to you, and then engage with one or more of those prayer prompts. And we'll call you back in a little bit to talk about it a little more. All right. I know I'm cutting you a little bit short. Those questions remain with you, though. Get to take those home with you. And I would encourage you to engage with the questions you didn't get to engage with yet, because there's a lot of richness in asking these questions and hearing what God has to say to us about these things. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. He's the vine. He's full of life. And he's chosen to be connected to you, sharing his love, sharing his abundance. So take comfort in that. Be encouraged. He remains. He remains and we remain. But the starting point is he remains. And the call is for you to remain as well. He wants good for you. He wants your life to produce good fruit, and he made that possible in every way. And you can be assured that the reality for you, that reality of fruit, the reality of abundance, comes to you through connection to the vine. But why would he do that? Why would he do that? Joy. That's one of the reasons that it talks about in this passage. Joy. When you obey my commands, when you remain in my love, just as I obey the Father's commandments and remain in his love, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. If you're lacking joy, just remember you're connected to the one who knows all about the joy of living in perfect, intimate confidence with the Father. He's walked the path of being connected, of connected love, obedience, and experiencing the joy that produces. And he wants that for you too. The same one who desires joy for you is also the source of that joy. Another why is prayer. He wants your prayers to be fruitful. Says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. He wants your prayers to be meaningful and fruitful, producing results in alignment with his good purposes. And this happens through connection to the true vine. And lastly, I want to just share this quote with you that I ran across as I was studying this. The joy of Jesus is the joy that arises from a sense of finished work. It is creative joy, like the joy of the artist. It produces a sense of unexhausted and inexhaustible power for fresh creation. He's full of creating energy. He creates life in us. He's producing something in us through the life in his vine, whose essence is inexhaustible creative power. So if you think, I can't produce all that fruit, no, you can't, but he can. He's full of creative, inexhaustible creative power. Create by creative, I mean the creator. And he's creative too, but he promised that through connection, through this connection of the vine, we will produce, he will produce fruit in us. You will be filled. Your joy will overflow. Rejoice. He is the true vine, and you are the fruit bearer. You are the fruit bearer. You are. And so as we end our time together this evening, Jessica is going to lead us in a song of worship. And we just get to pour out our hearts to that generous giver of all good things, the one who bears the fruit in us.